Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
That was a bit of madness. Now, last week, Minister for Education Helen McEntee said the government will press ahead with plans to spend €9 million on smartphone pouches after research from the University of Birmingham was published. The findings in the University of Birmingham paper compared 1,227 students and the rules in their 30 different secondary schools. And the headline suggested that maybe banning mobile phones wasn't the best idea in the world or something to that effect. We're joined in studio by Professor Matthew Sadlier from UCD School of Medicine, and he's written to the Irish Times today about the findings. Good afternoon, Matthew.
Good afternoon.
So the headline was on the cover of the Irish Times last week, and if you were just a casual observer, it said, well, let me just read it now here to you, to repeat it for our listeners as well. McEntee to push ahead with 9 million smartphone pouches as study cast doubt over their merits. Phone ban in schools not linked to pupils getting higher grades or better mental health, new research finds. Right. I was shocked when I read that because I thought this is flies in the face of everything I thought to be true.
Yeah.
Right. So what happened there?
So, like, the study published, and look, I mean, all research is useful and it takes a number of publications before we get to a consensus. This was the first journal article in a peer-reviewed journal published on this, where they looked at restrictive and permissive schools as they defined it in the UK. Now, their definition of a permissive school was one where you could only use the phone at lunchtime, and their definition of a restrictive school, in 16 out of the 20, the children had their phone with them and were not supposed to take it out of their bag, but the phone was in their bag. Uh-huh. In the permissive school, they looked at the phone for 23 minutes a day during the school time, and the other one they only looked at it for 10 minutes, but they still looked at it for 10 minutes a day in what was supposed to be restrictive phone policy. Only one of the 20 schools they looked at, four of the 20 schools that were restrictive, had a policy where the student and the phone was separated. And one of those 20s, the method of using the separation was a pouch.
So would you say there should be question marks over the methodology?
I think it's like all these studies. Like, it's an observational study. It wasn't an intervention study. They looked at schools. The schools came from different parts of the country. They had different, you know, socioeconomic factors going on in the schools. Why did the school have the...
Yes.
Why did some schools have a restrictive policy? Why did some not have a restrictive policy? You know, you have to answer those questions.
Should there not be even questions over why the schools volunteered to be involved in the research in the first place?
Well, a lot of schools didn't. So they asked, and they asked a thousand schools, and only some volunteered.
Only 30.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you read the commentary at the end of the paper, they go into those sort of things. They do discuss that maybe these findings, and they also talk about they use the pupil's own estimate of how long they'd use the phone during the day in schools, and they even question the validity of that in the restrictive schools, maybe the pupils might have lied.
So one of their big selling things was this is the first of its type in the world, because a lot of the criticism around people giving out about mobile phones is that there is no scientific research to prove that that mobile phones are harmful to young people. So this was an important piece of research.
It was an important piece of research, and it has its use. Now, what they did find, what this research has shown is that if children use a phone for 23 minutes a day in their school time between, I think they defined it as 8 to 3, I could be wrong on that, but a certain time period during the day, and if children use the phone for only 10 minutes a day for school, that 13 minutes of phone use makes very little difference to their mental health. That is ultimately the finding of that study. Now, what they did show was, though they asked the children, how much do you use the phone in your total of the day? And they showed that the more children use the phone during the day and the more they access screens or social media, kind of conflating the two, but most research does conflate the two. In fairness, children had more behavioural problems, lower attainment in school, worse sleep problems and depression and anxiety problems. These are the findings that have been found in most studies done. What's really interesting is there was a school in England, the John Wallace Academy, that I quote in the letter. Now, they did though it wasn't done in a peer-reviewed fashion, but they did a study where they introduced the electromagnetic pouches into their school. And they showed a significant difference in truancy in the school, the number of out-of-school detentions, and most interestingly, they showed improvement in teacher satisfaction, which there's a survey done in the UK of this, and the average is 20%. They were getting 40%.
Yes.
And given the crisis we have with teachers in this country, they showed a lower turnover of teachers in the school after they introduced the phone-free policy compared to the previous time with the phone policy.
Yeah.
Now, that was not published in a peer-reviewed journal, so it doesn't count in the same way that the one that published in The Lancet okay. counts.
So you mentioned those pouches. I think the brand name is Yonder pouches, is it?
I think they're certainly one of the major manufacturers that people are aware of, yeah.
Why do you think there was such an outcry when Norma Foley, the then Minister for Education, said she was going to spend 9 million on Yonder pouches for secondary schools?
I do not understand that for the life of me. Like, in the totality of the budget of the government of this country, 9 million is a relatively small number. This issue of, and as I said before, like, the week before that policy was introduced, the Data Protection Commission in this country fined Facebook 91 million. So we could have paid for all the pouches out of the fines directly from Meta itself without touching taxation or other expenditure, you know. So I can't understand why there was such an outcry at this. You know, there was a report about 6-8 weeks ago in the Irish Times of a school in Slorgan St. Raphaelis who introduced an electromagnetic pouch, and the report in its own newspaper showed that that was very positive.
Yeah.
So I think this issue of smartphone and social media use by adolescents is a serious public health issue. Australia, France, multiple countries around the world are bringing in measures to deal with it. Are the pouches the best solution? Certainly, they're definitely one of the best solutions for schools, and the schools that have used them seem to have found them very effective. I cannot understand why it became a bit of a political football, but as we see from today's Irish Times, there seems to be a lot of support in Carl O'Brien's article with the Freedom of Information. There seems to be a lot of support from teachers and parents around this policy and around trying to have a stricter use of phones within schools.
Yeah. So records released under Freedom of Information show there has been a wave of support among many parents in favour of the then Minister for Education, Norma Foley's announcement of a school ban on mobile phones. So a couple quoted here. I have two children aged 10 and 8. They don't have phones, and I am to hold off as long as I can. The pressure is relentless and will only get worse. If phones were banned, this would be a significant and major help for those of us trying to protect our children and keep them off social media until they're old enough to navigate it safely. Pressure is relentless. You have children.
I have two children. Fortunately, they're too young to really, they're 2 1/4 and 9 months old. So we're a little bit before that problem.
And would you rank yourself as being anti-mobile phone under a certain age?
100%. Right. And I think the evidence is very strong on that.
Now,
that
I'll come back to you in 10 years.
Oh yeah,
like, well, it's difficult.
It's very difficult. Now it affects children at different stages. Mm. And I mean, if you look at a report recently from the UK on children entering school level, like, the children preparedness level is significantly lower than it's ever been. Mm. You know, there was communication difficulties in children not being able to interact with other children, language problems, development problems. Which a lot of this is secondary to extreme screen use in the under twos. Now, the HSE's own advice, and if anybody has had a child in the recent past, you know you get a book from the HSE called My Child. In that book, now it's buried in the book, but there is very good advice that a child under 18 months shouldn't be exposed to any screens, okay, and after 18 months should be only very minor screens exposure. And the problem is that children develop language on a to and fro basis. You know, you say something to the child goes, whatever sound back, you either repeat it, yes or no, and the child slowly learns over time on the to and front back. A child passively absorbing information from an app or a screen, no matter how much that screen says it's educational, they don't learn language that way.
Okay.
And that is not how human beings learn language. We are seeing problems, and certainly the research in there's been papers from Japan on increase in symptoms of what, similar to autistic spectrum disorder in children related to screen use, where children have to learn sensory integration.
Okay.
They have to pick up bricks and put bricks on top of bricks to learn how to use bricks, to know what touch and sense and smell and everything is.
Now, there's no doubt that the phone becomes a flashpoint in families.
Yes.
Get off the phone, and then it goes from 0 to 100 and there's a you know, a flare up. I'm wondering, because they say positive enforcement is better than, you know, punishment. How do you incentivize getting off the phone when the phone is seen as, you know, a positive?
I think there's two or three things there. I think there is the current generation and there's the generation to come.
Well, let's deal with the people who, the current generation, who have current generation.
I think if we had a proper public health messaging, a proper public health messaging showing that on bus shelters, on the television, coming up on apps, as the US Surgeon General has advocated, a warning site coming on our apps, that people realise that this is unhealthy.
But I think everyone knows that. I think everyone knows that already, Matthew.
They know that informally, but they need to know. We all knew smoking was unhealthy, you know, back in the 1970s, but it took that big public health push to get people off smoking. Now, essentially, if you look at smoking as an example, what got people off smoking was cost. You know, and personally, my attitude has always been taxation, right, and that we should be taxing social media use per minute, and that the more you tax it, the more it costs to use it.
How would you do it? How would you police that?
Limit it? Well, that would be up to the companies to police that, and
but they're not policing themselves already. We're asking them to self-police themselves. We know they have the technology to do it, but they're not doing it.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in Australia now, who's banned social media for people under the age of 16 in regards to certain aspects of, you know, certain, you know, images of child pornography, and that, you know, they do good or relatively good or certainly think. So they have the capability to do it. And what we need to have is proper age verification on these apps. We need to have a system where they know what age the person is and then they can limit the person's use based on that. We know that in certain countries they have got apps to shut down at the hours of sleep. And this is going to be an ongoing problem.
Do you think, and you mentioned smoking there, that we now look back and we see that we were sort of duped by the tobacco industry? Will there be a time in the future where we look back on this time and go, we were duped by big tech?
There's always something that a previous generation looks back and a one and says they did something wrong. I think allowing children and adolescents unfettered access to the internet absolutely will be looked back in 20 whatever number of years time as a serious misstep.
Okay. Professor Matthew Sadlier from UCD's School of Medicine, thanks for coming in, Matthew. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.